You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray, and I am joined by my two favorite boys in the whole wide world, Ryan.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hello, hello.
So I'm sorry, you guys are clearly men. You're of age.
Men in tights.
But, you know.
We're manly men.
You're my boys.
We travel across the country looking for fights.
Yeah. Because if we ain't got no tolls, then we ain't got no rolls.
That's right. And we are actually wearing tights. You can't see them. But
they always do.
We always do for this podcast.
They do.
And usually we break out into song shortly after.
Patrons get a...
Under the table.
It's a whole lie. Because then we'll have to provide that content.
We'll make a new tier. We'll make a new tier for that.
Under the table at Screen Heroes.
Live.
The upskirt shops.
We'll just call it the Mel Brooks tier, and we'll randomly do things in the spirit of Mel Brooks. So
we roll and see hay.
I mean, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, let's do that.
We don't have any hay.
Thought you wanted to. We are not moving anywhere.
Tangents! Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about our DCEU. We are writing our fifth or sixth movie? This is our sixth, I believe?
Well, we did BVS.
No, we did Man of Steel. We did Batman versus Superman. We did Justice League Dark. We did Shazam. This is Justice League. Okay, we have done. This is our fifth one. Sorry, guys. I remember what happens in them. I
just well, that's good.
Yeah. Last time we did we did Shazam, formerly known as Captain Marvel. And so if you're interested, go listen to that. It's a little ways back, and we'll have the details in the comments for you to check out exactly what episode, won't we, Derek?
Sure. Yeah, sure. We can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. First things first, we always talk news. Let's talk some entertainment news. What'd you guys think of the new Young Justice trailer?
I mean, did you watch it, Derek?
I did. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a little short. It was cool. It's good. You know, you get to see a lot of familiar faces, some characters we weren't necessarily sure were returning, but we're fairly confident we're going to be in the show. Batman's in it for a second. So
With Katana.
God, she looks good. Rendition of her outfit.
All right, so here I'm just going to say, I don't know who was the other person on the helicopter, the bulletproof guy?
I was not paying attention to that. Idea.
Okay. I mean, I didn't really look that close.
Because Deathstroke lights him up, you know, with like a whole magazine.
He's like, bulletproof. That's inconvenient. Or yeah, whatever.
That's annoying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know who that is, but I want to watch it again before I drop that.
So, I didn't recognize the character.
I think I know. Definitely a...
Wonder Woman was in it.
Yeah.
She
looks just like the DCAU Wonder Woman.
Yes.
So she was kind of big in the first season.
Is that the New 52 look? Is that what's the look?
What's the Justice League War look?
Okay. Yeah. Which I really like, actually. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see it if they did that in the live action movies, too. But
yeah, that would be cool. I mean, basically, it was a way to give her pants, I think.
I do love the Young Justice show, but I am waiting for a Justice League spinoff. Like, I don't want it to take the spotlight from him. Maybe they could do it alternating seasons or something like that, like seasons of the year. But I want to see these guys and their big battles and what they do.
The Justice League has all their own stuff going on all the time.
They have the movies.
Movies and everything else on the big screen and on the animated screen.
You can't tell me that those outfits aren't cool and that their side stories that pop up in the background don't sound like fun.
But we're all idiots and can't see more than one universe of Justice League at the same time.
Well, keep in mind, they're doing it with Teen Titans, right? You've got Teen Titans Go, but then they also have DCAU films that are more of the older style Teen Titans.
And they also have the live action Teen Titans.
And then right now we have the live action Titans show, right? The adolescent Titans.
Yeah. Well, Robin is far from an adolescent at this point, but yeah.
Okay, so moving on. Let's see. What should we talk about next? Like, there's a lot of stuff in my head just kind of bouncing back and forth with it. Aquaman buzz.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yeah, sure. It's making a splash.
Everybody keeps using water puns, and I just want like a solid sentence. Like, do people like it? Do people don't stop?
Really,
making
the movie
water.
Is just fishing for good reviews. I mean, I don't really know.
Podcast over.
Good night, guys.
I'm clamming up over here, guys. Come on, let's.
So, in normal vernacular, positive reviews so far. In fact, the reception's been so positive, they're actually tracking the movie to open to over $100 million first weekend.
That would be phenomenal.
Which is great for any movie, but is a big deal for a DC film.
I'll be curious
point.
To see how they're counting the early showings from the Amazon preview.
Yes.
Like, if they're counting that in with the Thursday, or if that's not counted at all until, like, the total box office is figured up, or what?
Yeah, it's a really fair question, right?
If you don't know, listeners, that Amazon did an exclusive thing with Atom Tickets or something like that, and AMC, where they're showing, I think it's just AMC, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's not just
B&B has it as well.
I believe Cinemark had some showings.
They're doing one night showing 5 days before the movie's released.
Right. Yeah, so we will be seeing that. We're going to do a quick movie take afterwards, which is our short form spoiler free video series. It's on our YouTube channel. We did Venom recently. We did Wreck-It Ralph, or Ralph Breaks the Internet, that is. We'll do Aquaman for that. And then we will also release our like full review episode of Aquaman the following week after the movie's out. We won't do it live because that'll be Christmas Day, but we'll release the episode later that week.
Had it already been announced that Julie Andrews was in it?
So, I don't know
Has
if it's
already been
about
announced
it.
That she what she's playing?
No.
So I'm
Do
trying,
you want to know or not?
I don't want spoilers. So the headlines keep saying she's playing like the most powerful creature on Earth or something like that. I'd rather just kind of...
So she's playing Squirrel Girl? Because yes. Julie Andrews should play Squirrel Girl.
I'd be okay with that.
More of a Squirrel Woman at that point, I think. But
Squirrel Senior Citizen.
Anyway,
I'm down for it. Like, they can make it a musical, Squirrel Girl the musical. I fucking love it. Sounds like the best show ever.
I will be curious though how the early screenings handle, because normally early screenings are free, but this is when you actually pay for it. It's a normal ticket price.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, Thanksgiving weekend is always handled differently than other weekends because it's a longer weekend. Movies come out on Tuesday sometimes and Wednesday, of course, for Thanksgiving weekend.
I'm sure they'll add it into their Thursday number, their like opening Thursday numbers. That
Doesn't
would be how I
bet.
But it is also kind of cheating.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, in today's world, you can go to Box Office Mojo and it breaks down absolutely everything. And Thursday night openings are a big deal in itself. Some movies, you know, do really well opening night. Some are more, you know, more weekend things if it's family friendly things. So you'll be able to see really easily when it made its money to break that down. And it'll have a 3-day breakdown versus a 5-day breakdown because the Thursday through Monday is considered the full opening weekend. But usually opening weekend numbers are just Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But it's actually going to be a 4-day breakdown because it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Why did you say Thursday twice?
Well, because there's the
early...
We're
saying it on the 15th.
Is that...
That's a Saturday.
About
okay, Saturday.
Week and
sorry.
A half ahead of time.
Five days.
5 days.
Yeah.
Okay. So not a Thursday. So it's going to be Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Goodness. Yeah. So that'll be curious to see how those break down.
But one person did say that they felt like it was a Marvel Phase 1 movie, which is actually a pretty big compliment, I think.
Yeah,
so
that's huge. Phase 1 was fairly great.
Yeah.
Phase 1 had a lot of good standalone films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't require each other yet.
DC needs a standalone film.
And Shazam has supposedly the reshoots are to make it more of a standalone film and not have as many references to Superman, Batman, or whoever. So, you know, they're trying to do that. And I think that what we're going to be seeing here, and I'm hoping for the DC fans and all of us, is that we're giving more power to the directors.
Yes.
And less studio interference is going to really help their movies.
That would be phenomenal.
I'm hoping. Obviously, you know, the early buzz, I'm trying not to get too excited about it.
Right,
hopefully
yeah.
Shazam, you know, is also
right.
good.
They always make questionable decisions, and it's very frustrating. You know, I'm frustrated with the fact that Wonder Woman got pushed to 2020. Like, I really wanted to see 2 next year, so... You know.
We haven't had a DCEU film since Justice League.
I know.
Since we all left that theater disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. I understand the move of Wonder Woman simply because nobody wants to go up against a Star Wars film. You know, I get that.
Especially not a movie company that's been having trouble with their movies and the reception of their movies.
That too. And I think maybe that's why this December is so jam-packed with films, because there isn't a Star Wars this year, mm-hmm. right? Because they did Solo in May. So this year's a little more wide open. But next year, it's not just Star Wars. It's Episode 9. It's how are they going to handle Leia? And what's going to happen with Luke? It's the end of this trilogy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I imagine it makes a fortune next year, good or not. So that's true. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see. I guess Shazam Gate, since we're on the DC topic, there isn't anything.
No, it was pretty quiet. So I'm hoping that, I think right now they're probably giving the spotlight to Aquaman and letting him do his thing, and after that comes out, then they'll start hitting it pretty hard with, you know, press tours and all mm-hmm. kinds of tidbits will come out then. But
I mean, I would know, like, they don't do this as much anymore because of the way streaming and the internet is, but it would be cool to drop a brand new Shazam trailer as a preview in Aquaman opening weekend.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. I kind of miss seeing some trailers right before movies for the first time. I love that I get to see them online and get pumped, like, months ahead of time, but there's something to be said for, like, you're in the movie theater mode already and you see something new. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, part of me wishes they would do movie previews first in theaters, like an opening weekend. And then
immediately they get released.
On like Monday or something. So like you get the opening weekend to go and see it, and then it releases to the internet.
See, I want to watch it and then go home and watch it again.
Well, I don't know how you gate that then. I don't know, but...
No gating.
Okay. Any other news? What else we got?
So, Avengers 4 trailer is rumored to drop this week.
Yeah.
Yesterday, for anybody who's listening to this on Thursday when it comes out.
Yeah. Initially, reports were on Black Friday, and that didn't happen, so...
Well, they gave some pretty big hints, I think it was end of last month, saying that it would be before Christmas or something like that. And so everybody, for some reason, is really thinking, you know, this week is going to be the week that it happens. Of course, it could be every week. They're like, it's going to be this Wednesday, guys.
Well, you start running out of weeks if it's before, you know, Christmas, right? There's only so many. True.
They are playing this one really close to their chest. This is the first MCU film that had such a late release of a trailer. Very tight-knit details.
But they're getting so much press from the fact that the trailer hasn't released yet that I think that it's doing exactly what they wanted it to do.
It's a smart move.
I don't even know if that's the goal here. I actually think, and I've read some other articles about this, so I'm not saying that I came up with this idea, but I think it has more to do with, do they have to market it like a normal film?
No.
Like, at this point, we've all seen Infinity War, or if you haven't, then you're probably not even interested in Avengers 4.
And Infinity War was the first MCU movie that required you to see others, at least. They didn't have any exposition. They jumped right into the action where Thor and Black Panther left off. So, you know, they really don't have to drop information and prepare you if they don't want to.
Well, it's also the first real cliffhanger. Like, there's been some teasers that, you know, teased other things, like Thor Ragnarok or something like that, right, in the post-credit scenes. But as far as a movie goes, this is the first one that was a legitimate cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And so, if you saw Infinity War, you're gonna go see Avengers 4, right? They don't want to spoil the title, maybe, and that's fine. But as far as trailers go, why do they need to make half a dozen trailers if everybody's gonna go see it anyway?
They don't.
Right. Really, we just want to know what it's called at this point, have a cool poster to share on our social media feeds. That's really all we want. Yeah. Right.
I'd be good with that.
And we're all going to go see it anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think that we're so close to the movie that's basically going to end everything that we've been building up for, you know, all these years since the MCU started. I mean, it's
11 years, 12 years.
It'll be 11. Like
that. There's 11. You know, going to be more movies coming out. Obviously, we know Far From Home is filming already, and some other stuff is going on and been mm-hmm. confirmed. But I mean, really, we're all kind of in the dark about a lot of what's going to be happening in the MCU. Are they waiting on the Disney and Fox merger to happen before they announce what's happening and go, you know, are we
going
to see the X-Men? Are we going to see the Fantastic Four? Is that what they're waiting on to really reveal their Phase 4? Is that what's going to be Phase 4 movies? Because last time they did this, remember they had that big meeting and they released like 3 years worth of movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was about three quarters accurate. But
I mean, I assume Avengers 4 is the end of Phase 3. I assume. I don't know if anyone's officially said that, right? But that feels like the right spot to end that phase.
I agree.
Makes it the largest phase, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, for phase four, I imagine, yeah, it's going to start with Spider-Man Far From Home, unless they pull an Ant-Man and that's the end. That's the real end of phase three or something.
Right. And then 2020 is probably going to be Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther 2, and some ensemble film.
Something new, probably.
Or, yeah, or you know, an origin.
Now, to keep you know in line with this, Hugh Jackman also teased some big announcement for Thursday, which is the day this podcast comes out. There are some people who think he's going to say that he's doing Deadpool. I really don't think that that's what's happening.
He just came out in a quote saying that he doesn't think people want to see Wolverine in a Deadpool movie, which it may have been something to throw people off the scent, because I can't imagine a world where he would actually legitimately believe that.
No, I don't believe it as much as I think he just... I don't know... I would be surprised if he does it at this point. I don't think he wants to do it anymore.
Right, and I think that's more of it. But that was just a weird way of saying it, because everybody clearly wants Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds to be together on screen.
Here's the thing, though. When you look at Logan as a farewell swan song for Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, does it cheapen that ending by coming back to do a bit role in, you know, Once Upon a Deadpool or the theoretical X-Force film that may not even get made now?
Takes away. I think that Hugh Jackman genuinely doesn't believe that the Logan that appeared in Logan is not the same guy who has a friendship with Deadpool.
I agree.
I don't think that's the case. Yeah. I don't think that the Wolverine we've ever seen would be the type of guy to have a friendship with Deadpool, or like a working relationship, or you know, a back and forth on Tinder even. Like, I don't think those two would just ever be in the same world. Deadpool and Spider-Man, yes, I can see that tomorrow. Tom Holland would have a lot of fun playing off of that. But
Deadpool and Daredevil, I mean,
yeah,
that's what I want to say.
God, no, I'm with you though. I'm not saying that I would complain if the announcement is that he's doing it. Like, great, I'm gonna go see it, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But I don't think it's needed at all.
I honestly think
that would make me go see it if they.
Oh, Once Upon a Deadpool.
If they had Wolverine in it, yeah, I would absolutely go see it. And it was more than what he was in, because he was in Deadpool 2. But if it was something other than that, and it was an actual like new part, I'm pretty sure get me to the theater.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't know. I think Once Upon a Deadpool, like they did shoot some new stuff, but I can't imagine it's a lot. I imagine most of it is the bedroom scenes with Fred Savage, and maybe a few other things. But I would not expect if it was Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in Once Upon a Deadpool, it would be a pretty small role.
Yeah.
Versus if there was going to be a Deadpool 3 or an X-Force movie, which don't get me wrong, I think all three of us would want another Deadpool movie. I don't even know if Disney wants to do that at this point.
I think, like, what I'm hoping is that it's actually, like, a torch pass and that he's announcing somebody else has been cast, or that there are plans for Wolverine to continue in another form. Because
that would be pretty crazy.
He's in his 50s playing this kind of ageless character or slow aging character. It doesn't really make sense for him to continue forever. And continuing to go back to the well, I think another standalone Wolverine movie would cheapen what was done in Logan.
That's fair.
I just really want the girl that played X-23 in Logan to take the mantle. Like, I'm fine with that. I can totally see that happening.
You That'd know, be cool.
Instead of having Wolverine in it, you have X-23 and call that good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I completely agree.
That's a good point.
Are we going to talk about the Lion King trailer at all?
So, sure. New Lion King trailer?
That's a pretty important... I mean, that was really big on the internet. We don't want to spend too much more time probably on news, but...
Yeah, I mean, it broke the record for number of views within the first 24 hours. I kind of had this concern when they first announced that they were doing this movie, but it's just a shot-for-shot remake.
It's not
actually.
They cut Be Prepared in favor of a new song specifically written with Beyonce in mind.
Also, in just the trailer, there's a lot of stuff that's different than the...
Okay, let me rephrase this then. It's the exact same movie versus where Beauty and the Beast, for example, had some different aspects to it that the original didn't have. I think that...
But it wasn't the same. You're saying that Beauty and the Beast was not the same movie.
Do you, like, I mean, Jungle Book was almost the exact same.
You're right.
A few small changes here and there.
You're absolutely right.
Same story. Like, so far, they've all produced the same story. They've added extra backstory to the princesses, because let's face it, they desperately need it at times.
Yeah, I just, I think that, like Jungle Book, because at the end of the day, the animals are still basically animated. We can argue semantics on that, but they are animated. That the differences are not as significant as when you bring something like Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast, where it's mostly humans, and you're bringing that to live action is a very different kind of experience.
So you're saying Rafiki using a root instead of juice from a berry is not a big enough difference for you?
Correct.
Okay, well, agree to disagree, Derek. Also, Rafiki not having a stick? Come on.
Well, he might not have had it in that shot.
Whatever.
I'm sure he has the stick.
How else is he going to hit Simba on the head?
I mean, is he going to do, like, the martial arts scene at the end where he's fighting the hyenas?
This brings up another discussion. Is it fair to call this movie a live-action movie?
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's a CG. It's all CG.
I mean, they had dogs doing mocap, so...
The thing is, when you bring mocap in, it's a live-action shot film, is what it is, right? Whereas... Obviously, the original is not. And the distinction that's being made is this is not a 100% hand-drawn animated picture. It is a live-action shot picture with CGI thrown on top.
So basically, that what they filmed was a bunch of the camera moving like this over scenery.
Yeah.
No, and that's it. With animals in mocap. Like, there were dogs used to mocap some of the animals and things like that. Jungle Book had humans in those as the animals in mocap. Like, that's still live-action filming. With digital effects on top of it.
All right.
You know? I mean, it would be like saying that, like, so in the Tron movies, when they're in the grid, you know, it's still live action.
But that's one part of a larger movie where there's
obviously... most of a larger movie. I mean...
Still,
it's the opposite of saying that the Lego
movie... There's no humans in this movie.
But it's the opposite of the Lego movie, which they said that...
He's just going to prepare to make this point. He needs to make this point.
Never mind. We'll move on.
It's not...
I think it's arguing semantics. Like, I see where people are coming from. You can't film a movie like this and use real animals. There's
right,
like
clearly,
nobody's
yeah.
going to participate in that. Not one animal reservation is going to be like, that's a great idea, Disney. So it had to be CGI. Now there's...
Your Jungle Book had at least a main character that was a human, right?
Yeah.
So it's just tough. Because obviously Beauty and the Beast is live action, right?
Yeah.
You have a lot of real actors in that movie.
Sure, yeah.
It's just tougher for me to swallow. When they're saying they're making all these movies in live action, it's, you know, obviously they can't use real animals. It's just a weird distinction.
I guess the question is, what would you call it? Because it's certainly not an animated
I'd call
feature.
It live action, to be honest. Yeah. But I would call it, I don't know, what was Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Like,
right.
Well, I mean, so movies...
But that one had human actors, too, so
yeah,
it's tough.
Season.
Right, same with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and
yeah.
Mary Poppins, right? I guess an interesting comparison would be a Scanner Darkly. Which was
where
shot.
Everything was, yeah, done in a
cell
shade
afterwards.
I don't know if that's officially. I assume that's considered live action. I mean, I guess
probably.
I never really thought about it.
I mean,
it.
They were on set. They filmed everything together, and then it was
and
just
it was an actor,
done afterwards.
I mean, but it wasn't mocap,
right?
Yeah,
right. I mean, it was pre mocap technology.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for news. We are going to take a quick break. Derek's going to make a comment.
He's either
going
to confirm something
for me. We need to go to break.
We will go to break in a second.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have something to say after this anyway, before
sure.
we go to break. But A Scanner Darkly, according to IMDb, is under three genres. Animation, crime, and drama. So there you go. So in that case, if A Scanner Darkly is considered animated, then I guess an argument can be made for The Lion
definitely
King.
Definitely be animated.
Because it's even more so.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to point out, though, is just real quick, I want to announce, in case anyone hasn't heard yet, next week is the third annual Screen Heroes Awards.
Woo!
We do this every year for the last 3 years now. We have had voting going on for weeks. We have a few more days left of that with a few more categories to go down to the last minute. So head out to Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Heroes Podcasts.
And join us live, please.
Please join us live next Tuesday, December 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, twitch.tv/Heroes Podcasts. We're going to have a roundtable discussion. We're going to have hosts from all of the Heroes Podcast Network shows on the Screen Heroes Awards to talk about movies, TV, video games, superheroes, you name it. It's going to be an awesome time. We're doing something a little different with it this year, too, so I hope you guys will join us and check that out. And that was all I really wanted to say. So we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back. Woo!
Hello, listeners. John here from Gamer Heroes Podcast. No, not that John. A new, improved John. Join all new hosts every Wednesday for discussion on all the latest games and gaming news. Hit us up to get the hottest takes, freshest memes, and deep, overly personal discussion on video games, though we reserve the right to also discuss board games, Dungeons & Dragons, music, art, society, and anything else that pops into our noggins. Level up your gaming podcast from silver to diamond with Gamer Heroes. See you on Wednesday. John out.
Hey everyone, we are back. And now we are going to get started with our rewrite of Justice League. So let's just be honest. Justice League was a garbage fire of a movie, and they had a ton of issues behind the set. The drama behind the scenes completely reflected in the product that we got. I think every DC fan was just at, you know, the best side of things was underwhelmed, and, you know, the worst side, I guess, completely felt betrayed. So we are going to redo this new storyline. We've got to cast a few people.
Okay.
So,
Well, do we want to kind of do a small recap just to tell people where we left off?
That was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You were going into casting, I thought. My mistake. Yeah.
Calm it down, Derek. She's got this under control.
So our last one was Shazam, where we introduced him and his power set, and basically we went through the movie with Dr. Sylvanas and mild interaction with Black Adam. He was definitely introduced. He was not being reserved for another film, but Sylvanas was pretty much the main villain, just like he will be in the Shazam movie. We had cameos with Superman, of course, because we love that idea.
And we want that to happen.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we left off. It was an origin story. We explained his origin. He got his powers, and he wins the day. So here we are, Justice League. The Justice League members we currently have, the ones that have been on the actual Justice League that we have already cast and they have appeared in our films, include Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Zatanna, and Shazam.
Did we actually have Wonder Woman?
Yes.
We okay. have had Wonder Woman. So far, we've kept all the casting. Zatanna was the only one that we had to cast so far. We had a couple different choices. I don't remember where we left off with that. So if you guys had any ideas for who could play Zatanna at this point.
Who did we decide?
We definitely cast somebody.
Yeah.
I believe it was Olivia Wilde.
When yeah, we I think that's where we ended up.
Yeah, I'm good with that if it wasn't. I think that's a good casting choice. We'll go there. So, Olivia Wilde, Zatanna.
All right. Now, that's only five members. We can keep with those five members. We don't have to add any more, but I know we all love the growing roster of the Justice League. So let's open that up. Do you guys want to add in anybody else at this time to this film? Or would you like to keep it?
Did we have marketing material that said Unite the Seven?
No.
Okay. I mean, no one's ever done that before, I know, but just asking. I'm still bitter.
Yeah, I know.
See, if they just would have let it be with Aquaman, you can argue that it was the Seven Seas.
Right.
But they didn't. They also did a Flash one. Right.
So we don't have Flash yet. It does feel
we don't have weird Flash. We don't have Aquaman. We don't have Martian. And we don't have Green Lantern.
Or so, Hawkgirl.
I don't think Green Lantern is necessary in this case. I don't think Hawkgirl is necessary. But I feel like Flash is like... I mean, Green Lantern's somewhat important, too. More important, probably, than Shazam.
Which Flash would you want to do?
The five people that we just talked about been founding members at one point or another in one iteration or another. So, you know, they're all fairly important. It's not like we're talking Red Tornado is our sixth member here.
Hey, don't dog on Red.
He's great, but he's never been a founding member. That was my point.
I like Red Tornado.
Yeah, you can like him, but he's not that great.
It wasn't great on Supergirl.
That's he wasn't great in anything.
No, I mean, I don't. We can always introduce a character later if we think the story needs it. Right now, I feel like.
But we have to. But I mean, to introduce a character in an ensemble movie that already has five main cast members is tricky.
It's kind of difficult, yeah.
I'm not sure we need to. I mean, if it ends up being The Flash, I don't think that that requires a whole lot of explanation necessarily. I think that was part of the problem with DC's approach is that they tried to do miniature origin stories inside of their one movie.
Well, Barry Allen's origin story is basically he's in his lab and a lightning bolt hits his chemicals and they spill all over him and then he becomes the Flash.
As the Star Labs thing
explodes. No, that was, we're only doing a TV show. I'm going back to the original. And
can we cast Stephen Amell as the Flash?
It's so basic.
Or John Wesley Shipp?
Yes!
Sorry, Rachel.
It's so basic that, we could insert that origin story. Like, the big bad could have an explosion, and we could create the Flash within this movie towards the end or something. So, that's a possibility. We have that option. But let's decide on the big bad then. Who are these guys gonna face?
Well, so we have Black Adam with Nabu, the Dr. Fate helmet.
Yes, he ended up with the helmet.
So part of me feels like Dr. Fate would be the character we would introduce if we were introducing a new hero. Because the helmet's already there. It's already part of our mythos.
Yes.
Right? So I would say that this is a good opportunity to bring in Black Adam as the main bad because he is a threat large enough to require multiple heroes to team up. Especially if he has the helmet.
That's fair, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we were setting up.
That's what it felt like
when
we did Shazam. Obviously, we could start off with somebody else doing something, Sylvanas or Lex or something like that. But
well, I mean, even with our Justice League Dark movie, we were setting up Black Adam. So, right. I mean, we've been setting up for multiple movies now. It's basically our Thanos.
Right, but I want to do this in fewer than 10 years.
Okay. Well, based on DC's rate of releasing movies, it might be 10 years with just the movies that we've already done.
Waka waka.
Just saying.
Fine. Anyway, 19 films. How about that?
Okay, so that's it then. We have in our Justice League, we're not casting anybody new. We are not adding anything huge. So let's start this off. What character are we going to open the film with? Do we open with the baddie? Do we open it with one of these individuals?
I like opening with the bad guy because he did kind of take somewhat of a back seat in the Shazam film. So I think we need to show him do something.
Like sit on a throne.
No.
That's what I think for
he'll do this himself. And toilet shades.
Yes.
I want to see him. If you want to parody the MCU a little bit, we can have him get up off a cool chair and grab the helmet off a stand and walk out of the room or something.
He is the ruler of Kondok. He would have a cool chair.
Right. And I just want to see him do something because why? Okay, so we left it with Superman and Shazam are kind of buddy-buddy now.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And if we wanted to, we could open up maybe with the two of them flying around somewhere, maybe stopping a natural disaster. Maybe there's a fire or something like that they're trying
to
put out.
Can we show them rescuing kittens from a tree?
I think that, there should be something funny like that.
Because I think that's what they were trying to do with the opening of Justice League, where the kid's, webcam interviewing him. But instead, we got the weirdest looking mouth ever.
All right, let's move on. So what if we can tie all this together. So what if they are together because there's a natural disaster, there's a forest fire like what we've had in California recently.
Too soon.
And Superman is in a suburban area protecting houses, right, and trying to get people out of their homes, and he rescues a cat in a tree.
I love that.
And then Shazam rescues a tiger.
A whole tiger.
Because Shazam does.
Shazam has a history with tigers.
Mike Tyson's tiger. Right?
Wow.
Moving on.
No? Okay.
Is that where we insert the Mike Tyson cameo?
Yeah, because we got to have that. But
Shazam hands Mike Tyson his tiger.
In the background, you can just have an instrumental version of what the tigers dream of. It'll be great.
All right. Well, this is going very well.
Our movie's going to be great. Everybody's going to see it. Well, at least we know it can't be worse than what actually came out.
It could be worse.
But chances are it won't
be. There's been worse superhero movies.
Not many.
But there have been worse.
Not many.
Okay. So, they are fighting a fire. So, okay, do we want to start with the fire or do we want to start with Black Adam?
I like movies that have two opening scenes. We could start with Black Adam for sure and then immediately cut to something a little bit. I don't want to say a fire is happier, but dealing with the superheroes is much more enjoyable for us
because we're cool.
Rooting for them.
You can have Superman like sweep around and do like his ice breath to like stop a whole line of you know, burning trees or something.
Because we haven't
had
him use that, have we?
Not really.
So we haven't shown that power.
We have to have the MacGuffin of the power that comes back later.
Right. Can he also kiss Shazam to make him forget about everything?
No.
Can he fly around and turn back time so I don't have to hear you say that?
Can he throw his emblem?
Can he throw his emblem, yes. The cellophane S. All right, so they're fighting fires. That's doing its thing. Maybe they have it pretty much under control around the time Superman saves the cat. Okay, so we have to come up with what is the thing that Black Adam does to get the Justice League's attention.
It could be just a, like, news report or something, you know. Black Adam is a dictator with magical powers. What would a dictator do? Like, maybe tear gas children?
So here's the thing, though. It has to be something that requires the Justice League to get involved.
Right.
Right? So it can't be something that a human dictator would do. It has to be something beyond that. It has to be something...
Which is why I said magical powers, yeah.
Right. So what is that thing? Does he blow up some type of, like, massive government landmark? Does he break in somewhere and steal something?
Megalomaniac. He attempts to take over, to widen his empire.
Why doesn't he, like... do something, like, to one of the Justice League members. Like, maybe, you know, boom tubes are a big thing in DC, right?
Sure.
You're trying to get your Steppenwolf and your other bigger characters to Earth. Why isn't, instead of boom tubes, he's making some sort of magic portal and Batman, discovers weird energy surge in whatever country and... somebody goes and checks it out because he reports it to somebody. Maybe it's him. I don't know. And then Black Adam either destroys that person or takes him captive something along those lines.
Why don't we have him, like, kidnap and hold Batman hostage?
Why wouldn't he just kill Batman?
Yeah. That's the problem with Batman. Like,
the problem with a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the problem with Batman, though, because even if you want to have it rated R, do you really want to kill Batman in the beginning of your Justice League movie?
I mean, that would make people take it really seriously right off the bat.
Well, there's a couple reasons why I select Batman, because I really don't want to see in the opening of our Justice League film one of our two female characters get kidnapped and held hostage. Even though they're incredibly powerful and could go up against Black Adam one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And then we just wrote a scene with Shazam and Superman working together. So Batman is the one left in this.
So what if it's not Black Adam doing something? What if Wonder Woman and Batman are trying to steal the helmet back?
And they storing it on Earth?
He has it with him at all times, like in his
how are they going to steal it from
him? Well, right. Obviously, we have to have it set up in some way where it's in some location, right, where he's keeping. Because he can't wear it all the time because he's not really fully in control of himself when he's wearing it.
You have Batman as the sleuth to get you in there. Not only just the detective, but he's the hacker.
I think the problem is that Black Adam would probably just kill anybody that came in there other than Shazam.
But he'd have a hard time killing Wonder Woman.
He would, but I think that probably Shazam makes the most sense. If somebody was going to go investigate it, he wants to prove himself to Batman, because Batman's the coolest or whatever. And he goes and flies over there. But Black Adam wouldn't kill him because he has something to prove to him. You know, because they both come from the same power, And so he takes him and, you know, somehow binds him into a magical cage of some kind or something like that.
All right,
and makes him watch this or whatever.
So that's a really interesting idea. Okay, the question is, all right, so then how does Shazam find out, since he's really a kid, where Black Adam is.
Maybe he overhears the other Justice League members talking or something like that.
So, okay, so do we want to basically have a Hall of Justice type location that exists where they do meet? It doesn't have to be the Hall of Justice, but like a meeting location?
That's fair. Well, maybe we could set it in the future a little bit, like...
Okay, a few years?
2 years or something. Okay. And so Billy Batson's now, what, 14 or something like that?
He's all grown up.
And, you know, so he's a little older and he's been working with Superman. Well, no, because that wouldn't make sense, because then why would he be trying to prove himself to Batman? Mm. You know what I mean?
He's still a kid. Maybe, okay, I like this. So, all right, so they have some type of location where they meet up. We can call it a Hall of Justice for sake of, you know, lack of another name. But what if they're all talking about how to get the helmet back? And they're all being a little hesitant about it. They're taking their time. They're being very patient about it. And Billy, being 14, isn't so patient.
And he's like, I can do this.
The guy's got the same abilities as me, the same powers as me. I'll go take it myself.
Right.
To be the rebellious teenager. It works really well if we move ahead a couple of years.
Right. I'm good with that.
Ray?
Yeah. I think that's pretty fantastic. We could also...
In the Hall of Justice, we could have the mace... Hot Girl's mace and like some other artifacts to show that they exist in the universe, and maybe Batman's investigating it or something. Alan Scott's lantern isn't what that guy's name is, the Green Lantern.
The original Green Lantern, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh. His power set's different.
That's perfect.
So that'd be interesting. Okay, so Billy goes off by himself. He's like, screw you guys, you're not my real dad, and he goes to go stop Black
Adam. Or maybe he doesn't tell anybody.
Yeah, that
could
be.
And they're like, where's Billy?
I feel like he has to throw a little bit of a fit at the meeting. Like, he's losing his patience. I think we need to see that. Otherwise, if he's just playing it cool the whole time, then all of a sudden he goes rogue.
Do they know he's a kid? Did we talk about that?
I think Superman knows. Yeah.
Okay, but nobody else? Superman, well, imagine in the 2 years,
he's probably... I don't know. I
would find it
Batman
hard to
believe. Batman would know. Like,
Batman would be able to figure it out, number one, but I don't think Cal would keep that from Bruce and Diana.
I think Cal would keep a secret.
I think if Billy
asked
him to. But I think Bruce would figure it out.
I think that's what we need to ask ourselves right now. Because if they know he's a child...
They wouldn't be saying this in front of him.
Throwing a fit is incredibly in character. Throwing a fit in front of him. But if they don't, he's going to want to keep up that pretense that he's an adult.
I feel like the Superman that we're painting a picture of wouldn't want to hide that information from Batman and Wonder Woman because he's a minor. Not because it's a secret to keep, but because he's a kid. And that, I think he would see that was irresponsible of him to keep that from the rest of the League members. At least the top League members.
I mean, it hasn't been established in our universe that...
There's only one other League member. It's Zatanna in this case.
Well, I figure she's part of the conversation.
Right now. But you just said Batman and Wonder Woman, the top ones. Like, there's only five at this point. So there's not,
I'm
like,
sorry,
a top tier.
I didn't list all of them. Okay. My point is that I don't think the cat-saving Superman would want to keep that information from his colleagues because he's a kid.
That's true, but I think Batman would figure it out and tell everybody. I mean, he's the world's greatest detective. In any case, I think Batman very least knows, whether or not he's telling anybody else. Maybe he doesn't know that Superman knows. You know.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
Okay.
Or maybe Billy just overhears it. They don't have him at the meeting. Maybe it's just like Bruce and Superman talking about it. And he's like around the corner doing something, like getting ready to bring him food or do something, you know. Ask him if they want to go get food. I don't know. Teenagers eat a lot. That seems like something. You know, I don't know. I feel like we're dwelling a lot on one point.
No, you are. Yeah, you're right. Let's move on then. So, okay. So he goes to steal the helmet from Black Adam. So how far do we want him to get before he gets caught? Do we want him to get to the throne room, to like basically be inches away, that kind of trope? Or do we want it to be even less successful?
I think he should come in like brazen, probably not hiding.
Yeah.
Shazam is not, like Captain Marvel is not a character that, you know, he's not a stealthy character in general.
Right.
And he's a cocky kid. We were all cocky at age 14, and, you know, he's going to go in thinking that he can handle this because he doesn't know what the helmet does.
Yeah, I completely agree. So Khondok is basically fictional Egypt. So Egypt still exists in this world. It didn't take place. They're like neighbors. So Black Adam is constantly surrounded by pyramids and runes and things like that. And I think having Shazam bust in and destroy some stuff, not everything, because he's not like out to create a poor environment for the inhabitants of conduct, but he's there to get noticed and piss off Black Adam.
Okay.
Like, we could have Black Adam at some point. We could have a news report that Black Adam has just been, like, a shit leader to this country. You know, things that we've seen come out of Kim Jong-un and ill and just horrible leadership. So we could see some of that, and then maybe during their conversation, the Justice League's conversation, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Like, not only does he have this magical totem, but he's also, like, a huge dictator. And
so maybe Bruce and Diana, or Bruce and Cal, are talking about it, right? He overhears it. It's like, I'm going to do something about it. So he goes that way. And then Bruce and Cal and Zatanna and Wonder Woman are all, they go to them to tell them, fill them in, and then a news report comes on the back computers, and like they're all around the thing with Shazam like busting through a pyramid and you know, doing all this stuff, and I don't know, I feel like something like that. So that's, then they know he's there.
Yeah.
I like it.
They
all
find out.
We can get a long sigh from Batman or something like that. You know?
And so at that point, you don't have to go, well, he's been gone for a long time or something like that, you know, and try and figure out a way that they know he's over there. They know he's over there.
Right.
And in that time, Black Adam has somehow imprisoned him and moved the artifact,
like,
or something.
You go in guns a-blazing on someone's home turf, you don't come out the winner most of the time. So Black Adam is easily defeated. We see the news report of him.
Shazam.
Sorry. Other way around. We see the news report of Shazam in Conduct just messing stuff
YouTube
up.
YouTube videos, like, you know, cell phone videos of it.
Yeah, that would be great. And then we actually cut to Shazam in Conduct, and we see Black Adam just messing him up in return. Like, he is a child. He doesn't even need to bust out.
I think part
the
of the problem
right away.
The part of the problem would be Superman is, you know, I don't know if we've established how fast he is, but he's very fast and could get there near instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's what would have to happen, right? As soon as this comes on all the TVs, they scramble the jets, right? And whatever that is, if that's Wonder Woman's invisible plane, or they've got the cool one from Justice League.
I like the idea of all of them going separately, because while they're a team, they're still not cohesive. Like, there's...
Well, Zatanna is going to... Is she going to magic
gonna teleport
her way there?
Yeah,
okay.
She's going to teleport, because she knows how.
So, I mean, that could be pretty cool. So Superman blasts off immediately. Zatanna teleports immediately. And then Wonder Woman and Batman have to hop in their respective planes. Yeah. I think that works pretty well. And then that way it's a 3-on-1 fight pretty quickly with Zatanna and Superman showing up.
Oh, I think Shazam should be defeated and kind of like imprisoned.
Yeah, maybe the news report isn't like a live thing. Like, they're seeing it, you know, it's a breaking news, but he's already been defeated. I mean, you're talking to actually get the news report up and going. There's going to be a little bit of time there. Black Adam would be have more than enough time to beat the crap out of Shazam and imprison him. And maybe they get there and find that Batman's doing this detective thing afterwards and finds out that it's clear he's taken Shazam somewhere. And
but where? How would Black Adam...
Well, Kondak, like, he's a ruler. He's a king. He's a dictator. Like, he can have a big castle. And Shazam is the second champion. Black Adam was the first one of Shazam's. So, you know, Shazam has had, Black Adam has had time to grow these powers and become bigger and better and stronger. And if our timeline, like, 2 years is not the same as, say, like, 40 years or however long we're giving Black Adam. So, maybe Black Adam set up a prison for people like him, for metahumans or other champions.
Yeah, I just, that seems a little too convenient that he just happens to have a Shazam prison, you know? Because, like, that's a very, it's a magical power set, it's not a metahuman power set, right? So, it just, that feels really convenient.
I don't know, I think he would be that kind of a planner.
Okay.
He is a Justice League level threat in general, so, I mean, he's not, like, a pushover. He's he's thought about this stuff before, and in the time he's been Black Adam, which I don't... hundreds of years. Yeah. I mean, in a lot of stories, he's probably run across other people. Maybe not. There's probably been other Shazams or other people like Shazam.
Okay, so what about this? Instead of it being a magical prison that holds Shazam, what if he got him so beaten, so stressed out, that his body forced him back into Billy Batson, and he was holding a child, and he couldn't change back because he just wasn't strong enough yet. He was weak, and like...
Maybe he put duct tape over his mouth.
That
would be funny if that's all it took.
I mean, I don't actually
know. I mean, for a while, that's all it took was the Tana. If she couldn't speak, she couldn't cast.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting idea. I mean, that's fine. We could do that. We can move on. That's fine.
Holding a child captive is a lot easier than holding Shazam.
Yeah.
It's true.
Okay. So then, I mean, is it a situation where, you know, Superman and Zatanna show up and do they just feel like they have to bide their time until Billy can, like, regain his strength? Or do you think that they're going to go in to rescue him immediately?
Well, I think Cal would want to go in and rescue him immediately. Okay. But I think that Zatanna would probably be like, if he beat Shazam that quickly, you know, we may want to think about what we're doing here.
Do we want to call out? Do we want to have a throwaway line to confirm that Superman has a weakness to magic?
I don't think we need to at this point.
A lot of people don't know that, though. I mean, we know that.
Well, I mean, I think when he starts fighting Black Adam, that would be pretty obvious.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, do we want it to be mid-fight about how, oh, right, my weakness to magic?
No. You know? What we could do is have him be skeptical around Zatanna the whole time. Like, these past 2 years, he's very nervous around her.
Maybe he doesn't know he's... I mean, has he been around magic, really, other than...
Just Savannah.
Well, yeah, oh, so he knows... Yeah, he does know. He's... Yeah.
I meant for the audience, not for Superman, right?
Well, but the audience, if they saw Shazam, then they would know.
I know, but I just...
You think they're going to go into a Justice League movie without having watched Shazam? Come on.
Okay. I know people who saw Infinity War that didn't watch any of the other MCU movies, so, you know, it's not an impossibility, that's all. All right, so they go in, guns blazing.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that Zatanna kind of has to take point then on this battle because Superman would get beat up pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's more magical, you know, than Superman's used to dealing with. So, right. Yeah, Zatanna would need to kind of...
So what are some things that Zatanna could do to incapacitate Black Adam?
Say incapacitate Black Adam backwards.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, I'm pretty sure that's how her powers are.
He's not wrong. He's,
I know.
She's done the Potsnam tab to stop Batman and it works. So she, like, it may not hold him very long. It could be one of those where she says it and he pauses and then he breaks and then he pops.
I mean, do Batman and Wonder Woman really need that much time? Like, I think that they're going to be arriving pretty well. I don't think that the Superman is going to rush in before they show up.
I mean, even supersonic jets would still take a while to get from somewhere in the United States to essentially Egypt.
I really like the idea of Superman and Zatanna being next to each other because I've always had, like, he's such an optimist and she is not. She's seeing tragedy and her heartbroken and blah blah blah. Like, she's a straight up pessimist, maybe even nihilist. So
you're trying to ship them in this movie.
I'm not. Even a little. Like,
you just earlier, want to show the dynamic.
Yeah, earlier, when they're talking about Black Adam and what they're going to do and how they're going to get the helmet and everything, I think it would be Zatanna to be like, well, do we even need to step in at this point? Like, at this point, the UN needs to step in because the dictatorship's more of a problem than the helmet because he hasn't used it or whatever. So I just always think she would be the contrary one. You know, if he wants to go in and rescue Billy and she wants to just hold back and assess the situation, like, they just, I feel like they would have a good rapport.
Agreed.
Would he listen to her?
No, because at the end of the day, Superman makes impulsive decisions, and they don't always work out for him. I think that.
And also, he really hasn't been Superman that long in our universe. Why, like this 3 years about, or something?
Yeah, three or 4 years.
We don't know how long he's been Superman.
But it's our universe, is what I was saying. At this point, we could say he hasn't been Superman that long, so he would still be very impulsive and doing things that a more experienced Superman may not.
Okay. All right. So he goes in and he fights Black Adam. So, Zatanna, I imagine, is going to have to go in after him.
She has his back.
So they're fighting. The three of them are fighting, right? So, do we want Batman and Wonder Woman then to show up, let's pretend, a half an hour later on their special magic planes?
Yes.
Right? I mean, I think less than a half an hour is just totally unrealistic.
Right. I think that's fair. It's going to be less than a half an hour in film, obviously.
Well, sure.
So. Yeah, a half an hour is pretty good.
Okay, so where is the fight at this point when they show up?
I think it should still be contained inside Khondok. I really don't think that Black Adam would expose himself publicly at this point, especially if he had just incapacitated and imprisoned a child.
But I would imagine that his throne room would be pretty much destroyed after a half an hour of battling Superman and Zatanna, right?
So either we expand his house, he takes the fight to an isolated location, or we expose him. Those are our options.
What if he uses the helmet?
I think that's probably a good idea, because we can see the power set, and we know, again, why this helmet is so frightening.
So maybe he's, Superman rushes in, and he just, is knocking Superman around, but then when Zatanna shows up, then he realizes that he's going to need a little bit of extra help on this one, because she's very powerful, right? And so he grabs the helmet.
I'll do it myself. And grabs the helmet.
Right? He grabs the helmet and he puts the helmet on. There's a really cool special effect, whatever. Maybe he, at that point, I mean, with the power of the helmet, I mean, he could, remove the entire building if he wanted to, mm-hmm. and just have an empty plane for them to fight in, right? Or he could start warping reality and doing some pretty crazy stuff,
Yeah, making the guns shoot bubbles and, it was an Infinity War reference.
Yeah, you're making a lot of those.
Well, we could have him very quickly be incapacitated themselves. I think, I always loved this look, but in, just go with me on this, guys.
It's going to be a journey, I can already tell.
In Jumanji, when he falls through the quicksand roof, that would be an easy way to incapacitate Zatanna. It doesn't have to necessarily be that, but what if he created a quicksand type of response and she is just completely sucked down, she cannot cast,
her mouth is full of sand.
She may be under, it may not be real, it may all be in her head, but she's under the belief that she is dying, that she is suffocating, drowning, whatever, and so she has to focus on that instead of him. And what if, immediately Black Adam has kryptonite appear, and a lot of it, he surrounds Superman with it kind of thing. Not just a teeny tiny rock that makes him a little nauseous. I mean,
But you want this to be in their heads.
Yeah, wouldn't that be kind of cool? We see it, but it's not there, or... It doesn't have to be. It could be real. The helmet can do so much.
Superman would realize it's not real after a few seconds when nothing happens to him, though, right?
But in his head...
a placebo effect.
Yeah.
But, that would kill him, though. You know what I mean? So when he doesn't die...
I mean, he could lift up an entire island made of kryptonite.
Well, that's an awful, awful... So, yeah, the same island he couldn't stand on earlier.
Exactly.
In the movie. That's not in our universe. Okay. That's not our Superman.
Okay.
First so let's two. Decide. Is that too much kryptonite? Does that just... that's where you draw your suspension of belief?
Right.
Or, this man is...
Well, no, I just mean that... I don't know. I don't know that I want it to all be mind games, because I feel like...
Then have Zatanna's be a mind game and have his be real and have it be just enough kryptonite to make him, not dead.
To make him not dead. Okay. So why doesn't Black Adam kill either of them in the half hour before Batman?
Because he's a sadist.
Okay.
Well, the fight took
place... He has to monologue.
Yeah. The fight took place over the half an hour. He hasn't, immediately put on the helmet. It took some time. And, maybe Wonder Woman and Batman come in right as these things are happening.
Yeah, I think in movie time, Batman and Wonder Woman need to, show up mid-fight rather than, half an hour later, because I realize that it doesn't make that much sense.
That's fine. Let's do that and move on. I don't want to get stuck in those kind
of
details.
So right now we're just kind of in the middle of the film. How do we move on? Like, Wonder Woman and Batman clearly have to beat them if we're going to have another showdown at the end, right?
Well, that's the thing, right? He still has to get away somehow, and he has to get away with the helmet.
Right.
Do we want to turn our Justice League into two movies?
No.
I feel like there's a lot going on right now.
It's just one big fight. Okay. Yeah. There's not a lot going on. It's just a giant fight scene.
Okay.
Right? The introduction took like 20 minutes, and then we've had this giant fight scene.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, so we have to have some way for Black Adam to want to leave or kick the Justice League out.
So what additional threat does Wonder Woman and Batman possess to make him want to escape?
Well, I mean, I imagine Wonder Woman, you know, has some experience dealing with magic and things like that, being as her, you know, mystical origins, essentially.
Yeah.
So maybe just a straight up warrior with a god killer blade is enough to make him.
If like she charges him and her sword cracks the helmet and it freaks him out?
Crack the helmet?
Like the Liberty Bell crack.
That's interesting.
Like, it could be repaired with a lot of magic, and maybe that's... I mean, her sword
is kind of like a magic thing.
So he escapes, and he has to go repair the helmet. And that's going to take a lot of magic and a lot of, you know, seedy underground kind of blood trading kind of thing. So...
Okay.
But Batman assists Superman and Zatanna. Wonder Woman just goes straight for
him. Batman could just hide in the background and, like, shoot some grenades.
Well, he could call. I like the idea of him causing a distraction.
Saying a very tactful, oh shit.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if we're in like this kind of like ruined throne room kind of thing, right? You could have Batman come in and cause a distraction, and Wonder Woman can like leap down from the busted ceiling, right? Like right on top of him, and that's how
he could throw a smoke bomb.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, sure. Whatever you want that distraction to be.
I think a single smoke bomb, it's like, psst, and it just like has a tiny bit of smoke. That would be a perfect distraction.
Perfect.
It's like, I promise I'm a grower, not a shower.
Yeah, that one was a dud. Next one's going to be real good, though.
So she drops down just right on him. She cracks the helmet. And what if like the magic kind of it internalized and he had to get out of there because it was harming him? Not at the same capacity.
What if it's like a mechanism in the helmet, like when it detects that kind of damage, it like automatically takes its wearer to a pocket dimension or something.
Ooh, I like that too.
And then they're just like left in the throne room going, what is going on right now?
I'm fine with that.
So they're stuck in, you know, in this alien civilization, essentially, not something that they're used to, a place they're used to.
They gotta get Billy, they gotta get Superman and Zatanna up and get out of there.
Right.
Right? So, okay. So that happens and they regroup. So the question is, what are they going to do differently next time around?
They're gonna have Shazam with them.
Well, okay.
That's a good point, yeah.
That's good. Okay, do we want to take this as an opportunity to, like, discuss any other characters or power sets?
I don't know about that. I think, like, now both teams, Black Adam and the Justice League are in research mode. They find out, like, they know that he's going to repair the helmet or try to or do anything in his disposal to do that. And so they have to figure out first. I think it'd be more interesting if they figure out how he has to do that. So how does he have to do that? And also, I want him to raise, like, this really creepy, gross army. Because it's not an ensemble film unless they fight a faceless horde.
Interesting.
Okay.
Like a Black Hand kind of thing? Or...
yes, like maybe... like, I don't want to be completely ripping off The Mummy, but, like, creepy corpses would be so fun to watch. Well,
that's what Black Hand does, right? I mean, he's the Black Lantern, essentially.
Yeah.
You know. So you could...
could there be some scarabs, too?
Yes.
Giant scarabs.
So, like, they ride in on them.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is kind of interesting, right? So maybe he needs Black Hand's magic, his abilities to repair the helmet, and they decide to team up with each other.
Oh, wow.
Because Black Adam is not going to raise an army of the dead. That's,
why not?
I just don't feel like that's in character.
Like, he's a megalomaniac. He's always wanted to expand, and a dispensable army is kind of the way to do it.
Okay.
I mean, we don't really know our Black Adam's character. Black Adam is in the
comics. Is that an ability that he has?
No, not by himself. He would need the helmet repaired, and I think with the helmet he could do it.
Okay, so how does he repair the helmet then?
That's what I just asked you.
I told you didn't like my ideas.
Well, because I think introducing Black Hand at this point is missing out on some really great Green Lantern stories.
Well, I feel like you have to introduce somebody who can help him do this, unless you just want to watch him reading some old parchment until he figures it out, which I guess we could do too.
Yeah, teach himself how to blacksmith.
Wait, did we kill off Sylvanas?
No.
Then why we could have him help him? Like, Sylvanas is the kind of book nerd. He's been reading all these rituals. He's a Giles to Black Adam's Buffy. Like, he could provide him with this creepy, gross blood ritual or something that would repair the helmet. Or it could be something even... Like, to repair this thing, I think it's gotta be something intense. Like, when Thanos sacrificed Gamora. Like, I think it's gotta be something huge to repair this.
So, we had Lex in the previous movie, too. What if the three of them get back together?
Aww.
Yeah, they get the old band back together. What if...
Can there be a montage of them all getting coffee?
What if Lex...
I feel like that's necessary.
I love it.
What if Lex deceives Black Adam and puts the helmet on?
And it's somehow more powerful than Black Adam was with the helmet on?
I actually think the helmet would eventually reject him, because Lex doesn't have any magical powers. Nobu would be like, yeah, I'm here right now, but I'm not staying on your head.
And I don't know if we need to get into those weeds, but my thought is that Dr. Fate is probably stronger than Black Adam.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't necessarily matter who's wearing the helmet. When you're wearing the helmet, you're Dr. Fate. What else you are is not as relevant, right?
But Nobu only sticks on people's heads who he can use, who will enhance his power and things like that. So
Lex is supposed to be the smartest person on the planet. He's got all this incredible technology. He's incredibly wealthy. He's a pretty good resource for Nobu to have.
Resource, but is yes. Black Adam going to want to work with somebody who's...
No, that's my point.
So you're going to make them fight too?
No, I'm not going to make them fight. There's no big fight scene. I want to see Lex put the helmet on, basically like throw Sylvanas and Black Adam through some portal somewhere into another dimension, and then go off and do his crazy shit. Because Lex is the one who would land on the lawn of the White House and demand that he have it.
So
I actually kind of like that.
We are getting rid of our main villain 3/4 of the way through the film.
Because he wasn't really the main villain the whole time.
And we are introducing, or bringing back, not introducing, two other characters who haven't been in the film until this point.
Lex is always around, right? I mean, it's not like we're introducing an obscure character.
I mean...
Think of how cool it would be to have a shot of...
He just wants the shot of Lex putting on the helmet.
Well, I do want that shot. Yeah. I definitely want that shot. But almost, like, basically, remember, it would kind of be like in Days of Future Past, right? Lex.
Magneto.
Yes. Yeah. Lex is, like, floating above the White House, and the Justice League are, like, in the lawn looking up at him. It's a pretty cool moment. Okay, you hate most of my ideas tonight, so you go ahead. You go ahead, you tell
me. That just sounds like a completely different movie. Like, all of a sudden, we went from, you know, The Mummy to...
Like, we went from a Zack Snyder movie to a Joss Whedon movie?
No, like, we went from, I don't know, like, this feels very Michael Bay to me. It feels very Independence Day. All right,
so you want Black Adam to raise a zombie army.
I just think that sounds better.
Okay.
Like,
That's fine.
Apparently is not. You'd rather...
So
throw like a ton of wrenches into what we've spent the last hour creating.
All right, let's take it back a notch. I don't really think I broke anything. he creates a zombie army. How does he do that?
I told you, with the helmet. We still haven't figured out how the helmet gets fixed.
Sylvanas. You said Sylvanas reads and he fixes the helmet.
Sure. Okay.
Right? Do you want that to be a big sequence? Do you want that to be like a thing? Like,
I figured it would have been...
I want it to be an 80s montage. Like, I'm really into montages right now.
You compared it to the Gamora moment in Infinity War, but we don't have anybody that we've introduced with Black Adam who would be as significant or at all, really.
Significant sacrifice. I know.
I mean, I guess he could sacrifice Sylvanas.
Ooh.
I mean, I guess.
It could be like that. It could be, you know...
Sylvanas is going to sing Country Roads while...
Harry Potter, a Goblet of Fire, Wormtail had to give up his arm to bring back Voldemort. And then later on, that arm is responsible for his death. So, you know, it could be something like that, where Sylvanas has to... something has to be sacrificed, and Black Adam's like, well, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
So then what next?
Well, now the helmet's back, and Billy is better. He's feeling better. And I think Black Adam makes his move to, like, invade. Doesn't have to be a zombie army. It was just a faceless horde kind of idea that was in both The Avengers and Age of Ultron. And
Suicide Squad.
And Suicide Squad. And Guardians of the Galaxy fought the faceless army.
So what, like, is he invading?
Other countries, surrounding countries. Like, maybe he invades the UN. Maybe he goes after the US, since they're the home of most... 4 out of 5 of the Justice League.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't really have a good answer for it, so...
Okay, I need a little more, I think, is all. So.
What do you mean? Like,
is he picking, like, the UN in New York City? That's what he's invading?
Sure.
Okay, so what happens? Like, what are you foreseeing for that?
Well, like, any... dictator who invades another country, they want absolute surrender and control. They want, like...
So he just wants to rule the world by taking down the UN building.
Yeah. He's insane. He wants power. That's why he took the helmet to begin with, because he wants power.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's no military there or anything like that. So it's all he's...
But the UN is a representative of every country. So he's not just threatening the US, he's choosing to threaten the entire world.
Okay, so then the Justice League go to New York City and they fight at the UN?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, every good fight, or every good... superhero team up has a fight in New York, right?
It doesn't have to be the UN location in New York. It could be in any other country where the UN has, where they meet sometimes.
Well, that's the more recognizable buildings.
Sure. I mean, then
so
well, there's one in DC.
Okay.
So let's do it in DC instead, because the Avengers did New York.
Okay.
I like it.
Giant effing battle, faceless horde.
White House down.
So how's it end?
He loses?
I can see it now.
I think traditionally the heroes win in these movies.
Right, but, like, I mean, okay, so is that all the detail we want to go into? There's a big fight and they win?
Well, I think, like, at the very end, Shazam should sacrifice himself like Iron Man did in the original Avengers. And to take the final blow on Black Adam.
They realize that they have to get the helmet off of him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's the one that has to do that. And the only way to do that is by grabbing Black Adam's head and saying Shazam. And then falling to the ground as a tiny kid holding a helmet. And Superman has to dive in and save him.
Oh, I like that. That's actually really cute.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Does anybody catch Black Adam's body, or we just let it fall?
He's a villain. Let it fall, right? I mean, Wonder Woman comes over and puts her sword up like this, right under where his body's going to fall?
Just a question.
Okay, so what if... So that's how it ends. All of them are friends. They go get, you know, Tapas instead of shawarma or something. What if Lex Luthor and LexCorp are on the cleanup crew? They assist with that. They donate these resources, and Lex finds Black Adam's body. And then we can set up a Justice League 2 with, like, a Legion of Doom.
Sure.
I do think it would be a little weird that the Justice League would be like, oh, his body's over there somewhere. We're all good.
But it is very superhero movie-like to That's completely true. Forget about the body. Like, it's really only Casey Jones that thinks to push the...
Right, squish the guy to death. Yeah, he's the only psychopath in superhero movies, right. Apparently.
Make sure the job's done.
Hey, they're in New York. Oh, no, they're not New York. I was going to say Ninja Turtles can show up and help with cleanup, and we can have a crossover we've always wanted. Batman has crossed over with Ninja Turtles before.
I know. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think him and Casey Jones would get along pretty well.
Probably.
Other than the killing thing.
Well, it depends which Batman. That's true. Most Batmen kill.
That's true.
All right, let's be honest here. The Adam West Batman and the Christopher Nolan Batman.
Christopher Nolan killed Batman. He just doesn't.
Everybody tries him. To be like that. But no, Christopher Nolan's Batman did kill
he
people.
He killed people.
Not saving people is also the same as murdering.
And also burning down your training facility and not saving the people in it.
Yeah.
Is also killing people.
Yeah.
But he didn't use guns.
That's right.
So it's all good. Okay. No guns. All right. Terrible. So.
It was accurate, though. It was on the point.
Anything else?
Do we want any more stingers? And what movie is next?
What do you think, Derek?
No idea.
Should we have Green Lantern set up in the stinger?
But what would that stinger be? We haven't done anything otherworldly.
Maybe the fight in Kondak broke loose a ring that had been stuck in the ground for hundreds of years.
This is where we could do the Wonder Woman film, and then in Wonder Woman we could easily set up another hero or two.
Ryan looks really skeptical for some reason.
I don't know. I don't really have a good answer. The way we're ending this one doesn't really
lend
itself
well. We could do like, our first solo Batman film.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay. So that's our next DCEU.
That's sometime in January.
Probably.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, so next week is the Screen Heroes Awards.
Join us!
It's going to be early. If you're used to our normal...
No. We go live at normal time. We go live at normal time.
Oh, that's right. It goes an hour later. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a long hour.
It's a two-hour
thing. So make sure you take your energy drinks and Monster Red Bulls and...
The following week, we're doing something a little different. It's a review, but we're actually going to review The Christmas Chronicles, the Netflix Kurt Russell Santa movie.
We are!
Which is something we haven't really done before. We usually don't do holiday stuff.
Rachel's going to set up a nice Christmas display on this table.
Oh, I will for you guys.
Eggnog. We're only going to drink eggnog through the whole movie.
Can I have milk and cookies?
No. Eggnog and cookies, maybe.
I don't like eggnog.
Well, you're going to have to drink it, Derek, and you're going to like it.
The rest of the year closes out with a review of Mortal Engines, and then our Aquaman review, which will not be live. But will be released.
That's it, guys. That's rest of the year.
It's 2018. That's 2018. So, all right. Anything else, guys?
No. Find us at Buster Props, Siren Ray, and the Star Trek Dude. And, of course, you can follow Heroes Podcast at Heroes Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We also have a Patreon. We use the few dollars we spend to keep this going. And we absolutely love it if you would help us keep this going as well.
And don't forget, we have a new TeePublic store. The link is on heroespodcast.com, our store link. It's in most of our profile bios. We've got brand new designs for all of our podcast shows, including a Shazam Gate 18 shirt.
That's right.
The Screen Hero shirt is really cool. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to wear some of this stuff for the Screen Hero Awards. So if you tune in, you might be able to check that stuff out.
Yes. Thanks for joining us. Bye, guys.